Last week, we started on the life of Paul, part one, and we had looked at the early years of Paul's life and what he had been involved in and what he had been doing. And we saw that he was a man who was brought up as a Pharisee in very strict adherence to the law, trained under Gamaliel, who was a great teacher at the time, and as part of his ministry, which he was fulfilling at the time as a Pharisee, he was heavily dedicated to persecuting the church. You know, we saw a lot of verses on how much he was dedicated to destroying the lives of believers, and to follow and chase believers to various cities, so they could bring them bound to Jerusalem and force them to blaspheme. And he said he caused havoc of the church, hailing both men and women, didn't matter, to prison, and then giving his voice against them, and they were killed. And that happened on many occasions. So his background was quite different from most people's backgrounds, let's put it that way. And he was quite an operator, and he was good at his job, let's put it that way. To the point that the churches were very much in fear of Paul, because they knew he was out there, and he was causing literally havoc. And we'll see, again, a little bit today, how much havoc he caused. And, well, today we're going to look at part two of that, and I call this the conversion and a new direction. Acts chapter 9, we'll pick it up there. We'll see wonderful examples today of how you can use scripture buildup to get a full picture of some of the things that happen. And because one place in the Bible doesn't necessarily tell you everything there is about an event. Acts chapter 9, verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," literally it's any of the way, whether they were men or women, "he might bring them back unto Jerusalem." So this way, referring unto the way, who is Jesus Christ. "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." So he was engaged in one of his ministries to bring women back, men and women back to bound. When this happened, "shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks," which means the goads they used to have to hit cows with a little nail at the end to keep them in line. He said, "Isn't it hard? Aren't you finding it hard that every time you do something you get pricked? Isn't this hard?" And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So keep that in mind, where they heard a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, he was blinded, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And if you look at later references when Paul makes to this occurrence, this event had quite an impact on Paul's life. He makes mention of it many times. In the beginnings of all the epistles, he says, "Servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle." Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, chosen not by man, but by Jesus Christ. Or in Corinthians, he says, "Have I not seen Jesus Christ?" Had quite an impact on him. In Galatians, "An apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ." In Ephesians, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ." So he was called by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ appeared to him and had quite an impact on his life. Verse 10. 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. It's a little bit hard to imagine what during those 3 days Paul might have thought about. You know, because as we learned before, he was a man who was well versed in the scriptures. He was very knowledgeable. He knew the Old Testament probably better than most. He knew the scriptures. Who knows what he talked about? Maybe he thought about the coming of the Messiah. Who knows? Maybe he thought about what just happened with Stephen. I don't know. It doesn't say. Verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. A wonderful man. As soon as he's spoken to, he responds, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, and you know, look at these two verses here, and the very specific, detailed information that is provided to Ananias by revelation. You know, very, very specific. And he says, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. So go to Straight Street and inquire in the house of Judas. The house is owned by a guy named Judas, for one called Saul. The guy's name, who you're going to meet there, his name is Saul of Tarsus. He's from Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. You know, I make that point because a lot of times people hear from God and they think, I think I heard from God, or I think God is trying to tell me something. You know, if God is trying to tell you something, you will know about it and it'll be very, very clear. It's not vague. God is not unable to communicate. Verse 12, and hath seen in a vision. So he says, this guy's name is Paul. He's from Tarsus. He's in this house. And by the way, he saw in a vision a man named Ananias. Like, short of telling him what he's going to be wearing when he arrives, like he's giving him all the information. Coming in, putting his hand, he knows that he's going to come and he's going to put his hands on you that he might receive his sight. That's how much information he told Ananias. And Paul knew as well. So here's God, you know, making sure that both these men have all the information that's required. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, this is interesting. I have heard by many of this man, I'm sure he had, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. You know, he said to him, look, you know this man, he's an evil man. And he's hurt many, many people. And here he hath authority, verse 14, from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. You know, and that's a very, very valid concern, considering Paul had given his voice against many, caused them to be killed, beaten, caused them to blaspheme. So, you know, and it's another good learning for us that if you got a problem with what you're told, the best place to take those concerns are back to the one who told you. If God speaks to you and tells you something, instead of running around and talking to everybody else, say, God, what's going on? I don't understand, or what? You go right back to him. He's being directed, so he goes right back. Say, listen, are you sure about this? That's kind of my paraphrase of those verses. 15, but the Lord said unto him, it's okay, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. So Jesus Christ spoke to him. Again, we'll see later that everything Jesus Christ spoke here was told him by God to speak. Unto me, so he's saying, chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. But I'm going to show him. You know, and we're going to see later when we look at the other verses that talk about the same incident, how there's more information provided in those verses as to exactly what was told to Paul in this situation. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me. So he did what he was told to do, even though he was a little bit afraid. First, he did it, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, verse 18, see, this is exactly the vision that had been shown to him. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And we'll see in Acts 22, it says there, when Paul opened his eyes, he saw Ananias' face, which is exactly what happened. Verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came thither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? This is well-known information among the churches. So what's this guy doing? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, verse 23, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And we're going to see those last three or four verses covered a period of 3 years. When you read it there, you think this happened one day, and the next hour this happened, the next hour this happened. No, it took a period of 3 years, and we'll see that shortly. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, which also talks a little bit about this. Again, a wonderful thing to remember when we look at God's Word, that you know, you don't ever take one verse when there might be 10 verses on it. If you have 9 verses saying one thing and one verse doesn't say quite the same thing, there's a very good chance that we either don't understand that one verse very well, or it's mistranslated, or something's wrong. So, this is a simple principle, but important. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God, this is again Paul talking about when he was first called to the ministry. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. This is when he was told, you're going to preach to the nations, the heathen, you're going to preach to the nations. He goes, I didn't confer immediately with flesh and blood. Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem. He didn't go to Jerusalem right away, to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. So immediately Paul went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So he spent some time. Now that word Arabia, it's not very, very clear what it could mean. It's most likely a desert area that is around the area of Damascus. Might have been somewhere else. Don't know. It's very clear. It's not obvious in the text what it says, but you do know that what he probably spent time was taking a stock of what had just happened, because he knew what he was doing before. We read it last week. He knew exactly what he was involved in before, and now he's been called to do the exact opposite. So he spent some time. He didn't confer with people. He went away by... Who was he conferring with? If he didn't confer with flesh and blood. He spent time trying to come to terms with what just had happened. And it says, then he came back to Damascus. Verse 17. Then, verse 18, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. So that period of time covered 3 years of Paul's life. And then he went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Back to Acts chapter 9. Acts 9, we'll go back to verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. You know, as we look at Paul's life more and more in the, months to come, whenever we get to it again and all that, you're going to see that this particular thing that happened to him, immediately the Jews took counsel to kill him. It becomes a trademark of Paul's ministry. As he brought the gospel further and further out, more and more attempts on his life, to the point that Paul lived very much a life of danger. And it started right away. As soon as he's called, they took counsel to kill him. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. While you keep your hand here and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll come right back to this. He makes reference in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 to this in verse 32. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. So it was quite a lot of people involved in this plot to take care of Paul and kill him. Desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. And if you remember 2 Corinthians 11, the first part of that whole chapter, he's talking about all the things that happened to him in his ministry in attempts to get rid of him and destroy him. And here he mentions that same thing that happened back to Acts 9. Acts 9, verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket, so secretly. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, which we know now was 3 years after he had spent his time in Arabia and gone back and preached the gospel in Damascus, and there the people had been afraid of him, then he went to Jerusalem. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. This is 3 years after he was called to the ministry. You think maybe what he did had quite a lasting impact on the believers. 3 years later, even after he's converted, they still remember all that Paul had done to them. And they were still afraid of him. So it gives you a bit of a depth on how bad that ministry was that he had previously in attacking the church. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was they still didn't believe that he was a disciple. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So it's been 3 years now, and he's been preaching. He preached at Damascus, and Barnabas came by and said, listen, he saw Jesus Christ. He's now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 28, and he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Once again, the same things that followed his ministry. Now they were trying to kill him. The Greek-speaking Jews, the Hellenists or the Grecians, were trying to kill him. Let's go to Acts 22. Because Paul talks about his conversion a couple of times. I'm sure he did it more than a couple of times, but that are recorded here. This is Paul in Jerusalem when he was captured by the chief captain. Acts 22, verse 1. And he makes his defense. Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue, to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death. This is many years later, okay? He's talking about what he used to do before, and he's telling them, I used to destroy the church, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell onto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Now we saw in Acts chapter 9, it said they heard the words. So what is it? Why does it say they heard the words there, but they heard not the voice here? Because here the word heard is used, it's in the accusative sense. What it's referring to here is they did hear somebody speaking, but they didn't understand anything that was being said. There's no discrepancy. There's no contradiction. It's just more information. Here, they heard somebody speaking to him. They heard this conversation, but they didn't understand the words that were being spoken. That's what it's referring to. Verse 10, And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And when Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews, he looked at more information about this wonderful man. He was devout, and everybody loved him, and he was well respected among the believers there. Of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And that's what we saw Acts 9. So as soon as he received his sight, the first face he saw was Ananias. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see more information on what he was told. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Who chose him? God chose him. Who did God send to witness to him? Jesus Christ. You see, God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one. See, God determined that Paul should see Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did what God told him to do. That's why when he said, You're a chosen vessel unto me, what was he referring to? My Father God has chosen you. You're a chosen vessel unto me. And see that just one that shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. So God is the one who determined that Paul should hear from Jesus Christ. Verse 15, For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And this is many, many years later. Isn't he witnessing just that? Many years into Paul's ministry. And he's telling them exactly what he was told to do. And now why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Why? And arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, Make haste. Then he talks about more information. We're going to go to Acts 26. Acts 26. Again, sometime later again, this time Paul is before Festus and King Agrippa. And we read some of this before last time when we were looking at how he was talking about persecuting the church. But here, he talks about, again, this appearance of Jesus Christ to him. Acts 26, verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, remember the last place it said noon, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, more information, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now here we have even more information about what Jesus Christ told him about his ministry. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is what he was appearing unto him for, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. You know, a lot of people don't really know much about the Apostle Paul. You know, if you think about the Apostle Paul, here Jesus Christ said, I'm going to tell you some things, and I'm going to keep appearing unto you. I'm going to tell you more things. If you think about everything that you and I know to be true, as far as the foundation of what we believe in our lives about Jesus Christ was revealed to the Apostle Paul. He was the one that God had chosen and had witnessed to by Jesus Christ to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ, the foundation upon which all Christians from that time until the return of Jesus Christ were ever to believe and build upon, was revealed to the Apostle Paul. It's quite important for us to understand who he was, isn't it? Quite important for us to understand the message he brought to the world was brought by the Apostle Paul. And what was he before? A murderer, forcing people to blaspheme. And again, as I mentioned last time, he said that I'm a pattern to all them which should believe hereafter, to see God's great mercy, God's great grace, God's great love for man. Because if you could forgive this guy, this murderer that was causing havoc and destroying people's lives, what can he forgive? He was that man. Wonderful for us to understand. Again, more information here in verse 16, 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, to whom now I send thee. Here's Paul's ministry. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Paul, you understand forgiveness of sins, don't you? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And note Paul's verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He gave me the vision. He goes, I didn't disobey it. He did follow the exact ministry that Jesus Christ had talked to him about. And we'll close back in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. It's wonderful that God would pick a man like Paul. Acts 9, verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. And this is now Paul in Jerusalem after 3 years, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. When it says in verse 27 that Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, keep that in mind, keep your fingers here. We'll jump again to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see them, to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, but save James, the Lord's brother. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came unto the regions of Syria and Cilicia. So when he went back, let's go back to Acts 9. The apostles that he saw were who? Peter and James. Those are the men that he saw. And it said he spent 15 days with Peter. What do you think they talked about? 15 days. Did they talk about Stephen? Did they talk about Jesus Christ? Did Paul ask him, what was it like to walk with the Lord? What kind of conversation do you think those men had? I assure you, it was probably not about Roman politics. It's also interesting that, you know, when Paul met with Peter here in Acts chapter 9, this is immediately before Peter goes and speaks to the household of Cornelius, opening up the door of faith to the Gentiles. It's interesting that happens right after Paul spoke to Peter. What did Jesus Christ told Paul? His ministry was to who? Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. So here was a notion of how the gospel was going to reach out to all. And Paul spent some time with Peter. And next chapter, Peter is witnessing to the Gentiles, the household of Cornelius. And then it said in Galatians that Paul spent some time in Syria and Cilicia. Now that could have been on the way to Tarsus, or it could have been later as well when he went back to Tarsus, or later when he was Barnabas. It's unclear. And we'll close in verse 28 here. And he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus, back to his hometown. Verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. No kidding, they had rest after this man had been notable attacker of the church. He was now sent to Tarsus for some time. So Paul returned to Tarsus. He left as a Judean, or as a Jew, and returned as a Christian to his hometown. You think maybe when he got back to Tarsus, they might have viewed the people in his homeland a little bit differently, including the Gentiles, whom before the Judeans really didn't have many dealings with. But now Jesus Christ had told him that his ministry was also to the Gentiles. You know, Paul is a wonderful man, was a wonderful man. And we owe him a lot in the sense that he was able to hear from God and to listen to God and to write down what we have today as the seven church epistles. A little bit of a meaningful piece of work for a man, isn't it? You know, we're very, very thankful. And as we continue looking at Paul's life, we're going to see now as he has his new direction, his conversion and his new direction, now how he starts his ministry, so he can later on say, and before Agrippa, I wasn't disobedient. I obeyed exactly what I was told to do. And we'll look at that in more detail later, okay? God bless.